Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mini Crush.
Yeehaw! Get on down the road, little doggies, and gonna rustle us up some Mini Crush.
Jesus Christ.
Phew.
All right, Cookie, why don't you rustle up some beans?
I did have beans last night. I made a vegan grain bowl with black bean chili and kale.
Wow.
And so,
get out right now.
I know. We are in like the hot box, so be afraid. I will do my best to contain myself, though.
Noel just said a very distressing thing as he walked in the room, everyone.
Yeah.
He said, I have Wind Beneath My Wings stuck in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm afraid I'm going to just by virtue of the fact that I'm trying not to think of it.
Well, there's a fun game you can play when it comes to getting things stuck in your head. You can usually kick the things out of your head by getting something else stuck in your head. That's
yeah,
preferable.
Everyone's got a trick song, but I've always heard Ring of Fire is a good one to sing in your head.
Which is also like a pretty acceptable song that hasn't been done quite to death. A little bit to death. I had the X-Files theme stuck in my head when I woke up this morning, and then it got kicked out by... Yep. Whoa, I like your simultaneous hum and whistle.
Yeah, that wasn't a very good one.
It was pretty good.
I'm usually... that's one of my tricks that I just decided to debut.
I like it.
For
I like
reason.
It. Well, how you doing?
I'm great. Well, by the time this is out, this will already have been out, but Emily and I just recorded... starting our Alexander Payne filmmaker series. So,
oh, nice. I love that you're doing these little series.
Yeah, we just had a good time. Yeah, they're fun. Hell no, maybe we could get a series going too. I mean, they're good. I think they're always really good conversations, and it also helps to have something to go back to that people enjoy when you can't find guests.
I have a suggestion.
What?
We should each watch the entire Harry Potter series.
Oh, Jesus.
And then do an episode per film where we really do our best.
We
really do our
we?
Best. Yes. People would love it. I would love it.
And
as
it would
you know.
Be part of the thing, and it and would it, force me to watch these.
It'd force you to watch them.
As long as it's not Lord of the Rings.
I would prefer to do it with Harry Potter because I honestly, no, I can't. I don't
All right,
to,
let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Yep.
That'll be fun.
I think it would be fun.
I'm going to watch those goddamn movies
Okay,
now.
Let's do it.
All right, Noel.
All right. It has been said.
It has been said.
It has been said. So shall it be done. Have you seen the new Avengers yet?
Well, it's funny you should mention, Noel. Right after we do a quick corrections corner, we're going to do a quick crush to judgment.
Very cool. Very
Is
cool.
that all right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to start, and just let me start fresh. So as promised, Noel, we're going to go with corrections corner. Insert sad trombone here, Ramsey. Have you heard that yet?
I have. It is delightful. Big shout out to Ramsey for killing it with the sound
yeah,
design.
Yeah, man. Ramsey doesn't get his due.
And the clutch edits. And
Ram jam.
Just being a good dude.
So we're going to do Corrections Corner and read a couple of these. They're starting to come in now. Joe Welsh says, and I don't know if this is a correction so much as a you couldn't think of the thing, but that counts too. Jake Busey, remember when you mused on his films that he was a creep in?
Yeah.
Apparently... He was the Evangelica creep in Contact.
Contact!
But someone else said The Frighteners.
Yeah, he was also a weird...
So that's his deal.
And I actually listened back to that episode the other night, and I was annoyed at myself that I couldn't remember it too. I also feel like I came off as being derisive towards albinos. That is not my intention at all.
Sure. Yeah, I noticed that too.
I know. I think I called him like a weird albino freak or something like that, and that's not nice.
No.
And I'm sorry.
I know.
To any albinos out there?
You probably
that took
actually
offense.
People with albinism is probably how they refer to themselves. Actually, is would be my guess. And in fact, I bet you know that you should probably say people with albinism.
Yep.
Because that's the thing these days.
Man,
you don't title someone.
Am I canceled?
No, you're not canceled.
Are you sure?
It's okay. No, okay. It was a slip of the tongue.
Yeah, I said
you were very inclusive and loving, forgiving.
I said it about three times, though. At that point, it's no longer a slip of the tongue.
Yeah, but you know,
I have nothing but love in my heart, though, for all people.
Yeah, we're going forward, Noel.
Good.
We forgive you. You're
Thank
great.
You. I appreciate it.
Mike O'Donnell says the "I'm a peacock" line is from The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. Not certain it was the final line, so. That was one in the best last lines that we didn't know what that was from. I'm a peacock.
I'm a peacock.
I didn't see that movie,
didn't
did you?
Either. No, I did not.
And let's do one more. This one's been lingering for a while from our old buddy, Jeff Noel. He said, you mentioned in when you talked about Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Yep.
And I think it was me, actually, that said it was in black and white. It is not. He said, given how washed out the colors and focus were, may have seemed that way, but it was actually in color. And I went back and looked, and of course, it is just that very...
very gray.
Yeah, and I read up about that. It's really interesting, man. Those guys, these brothers, they never made another movie.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't know that it did real well.
Well, it didn't, but it was... I read a bunch of... There are a bunch of articles now retrospectively looking back and saying, like, this was the first completely... blue screen film. It was revolutionary.
Like pre-dark, what's that? No, sorry. The Robert Rodriguez comic book one. What's it called? You know. There were two of them. God damn.
The Spy Kids?
No, before that. The one that's very, it looks.
Desperado?
Oh my God.
El Mariachi?
Why am I doing, well, no, the one about the city, the creepy, mean city. It's not Dark City. No, that's a...
Oh, Creepy Mean City?
No, the one with Elijah Wood where he has like the weird white eyes and he's like a serial killer and Merv.
Type with your fingers.
Oh my God.
Because people right now are screaming
I'm screaming internally.
Yeah.
Hold on. Marv, Mickey Rourke. it was... Sin City.
Oh.
I said the mean city, the creepy, mean, bad city. You know that one. No, but point is, very similar aesthetic in terms of like the, it is more black and white. No, it's not. It is black and white, actually.
I think Sin City is.
But it has that same shadowy kind of vibe and the use of the CGI. And Sky Captain was very much a predecessor.
Yeah.
I didn't think about
that. It was sort of super revolutionary. And these guys never made another movie. And the articles I read, basically, it sounds like they just had no idea how to navigate Hollywood and how to self-promote and be comfortable working again. It was weird.
Yeah.
Not weird, but just very interesting.
That is interesting.
It was a big movie. I mean, it didn't do great, but I mean, hell, it had Jude Law, Angelina Jolie, and Gwyneth Paltrow.
I actually have not seen it.
You should check it out,
There's an episode of How Did This Get Made about it.
It's really cool.
Where they think it's not good, but they also understand that it's revolutionary and that it had some interesting qualities to it.
And like, it was a big swing, man, for a first film. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I think they really tried for something great. All right, Noel, we're going to move on from Corrections Corner, and let's do a crush to judgment, a little mini crush on Endgame. So if you haven't seen Endgame, everyone, there are going to be plenty of spoilers. So I would say let's just give ourselves a time limit, Noel, of like 5 or 6 minutes.
Okay. 5 or 6 minutes to discuss a 3-hour culmination of about 15 hours of cinema. That's going to be...
Talk about a culmination, man. By the way, I don't know if you saw, but there's this great YouTube video of the history of Marvel, the MCU.
No, I need to see it, though.
It's like 25 minutes long, and it really just goes through everything, and it dawns on you more than ever when you see that, like, just how expertly this thing has been plotted over...
From the start.
How many movies is it?
I don't know.
I think it's like 22 or 21 movies.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really impressive. They did something great.
Beyond great. I mean, it's just so, you know, say what you will about the movies themselves or whether you're into superhero genre type movies or what. This is a feat of organization, of craftsmanship, the continuity, keeping all of that shit together.
So
even in this one where they had scenes from the other movies because there's a time travel element in this one.
Oh, that was so great.
And it was so
effective.
We went
back to the Battle of New York.
It was so good. Oh, and everyone looked the same. I mean, I can only assume they actually pulled real footage from the original movie and then interacted with it and, you know, did
I imagine
CGI
from another angle or whatever.
Yeah. But I thought it was great. I thought it sagged a little bit in the middle. I only say that because that's when I sort of dozed off for about 5 minutes. But when I was back, I was back.
No,
I was back, buddy.
I have an admission.
Yeah.
I dozed off and I don't sleep in movies.
Yeah.
I am fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
Because of this house move.
Yeah, yeah.
And I fell asleep. God, it's so weird. I never do this in movies. I felt it happening. And I fell asleep right at the part where Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Where Hawkeye goes and is like on a killing spree in
Japan.
And I woke up at the end and just saw like a guy with katanas on his back and a hood. And I was like, what is Deadpool doing in this? And I was like, was that Deadpool? Such that I went home later and Googled Deadpool Endgame. I was like, that didn't happen. So I had to go read. I was like, oh, that was Hawkeye.
Well, there was also a reveal that it was him. And then I believe his Black Widow walks up to him and says, like, hey, we need you back or whatever.
Yeah, because the implication is that he's sort of broken bad.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just slaying people.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, one of the most beautiful, I mean, it was not beautiful, it was very sad, but the movie opens, it's a cold open where it's him playing with his family and, like, having, you know, a picnic or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as a dad, the notion that my kid just all of a sudden isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And just the realization of that and what that must entail. How must you just because, like, you know, spoiler alert, again, beginning of the movie, they evaporate as what happens at the end of
they go back
the Infinity Wars.
Pre-snap,
just to see it from his perspective. And then all of a sudden,
so well done.
They're just gone. And you just barely see him start to realize it. And then it moves on. But can you imagine what that would be like for, like, someone's there and they're just not there and you don't even understand the context for what's happened?
Yeah.
Like, that was.
But to know enough that, like, that can happen in his world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Russo brothers, man, I'm just so impressed with how these guys have layered this together.
Yeah.
Like some of the best character arcs over a series of films that I've ever seen before.
Well, and the fact that they make these giant movies with these insane ensemble casts and it never feels overstuffed and it never feels like any of your favorite characters get short shrift, you know?
Everyone's got their shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's got their character arc and comes full circle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize
that there is a bit of a backlash against Captain Marvel?
Oh, really?
A fan kind of, like, backlash. And when I say fan, I think I largely mean toxically masculine neckbeards.
Oh, like they don't like...
They don't like Brie Larson. And they don't like the fact that she felt a little shoehorned into the series. Because I think she's made her debut in a post-credit scene in one of the previous movies.
Okay.
And then she got her own movie.
Yeah.
And then she's in this one. And I don't think she was in the post-credit scene of Infinity
War. So they didn't think she was around long enough?
They didn't think she was around long enough. And they also think she's a bit of a deus ex machina because she's so godlike in her abilities that it was almost like, you know, oh, okay, let's have this just, you know, overpowered godlike figure that can fight Thanos but then not really do anything because she kind of disappears. She kind of pieces out in this one.
Well, she says she's been fighting all in planets all over the universe.
And that's fair, but it's also kind of convenient, isn't it? Like, I don't know. It just felt a little like, okay, hi, bye, and then comes back, does a thing, and then she isn't even the one that ultimately saves the day, right?
I mean, it's a little tropey, I guess, that she came back like that, but I loved it. I thought it was great.
I was just really more or less bringing up the fact that
I did not realize
there was such a backlash against her because she's also – she's not the best on the – on the, what do you call it, the junkets, you know? She comes off as a little entitled as far as her character is concerned, and she's just not very good at, like, being likable seeming.
Really?
And yeah, there's some interviews where it's her and Thor and Don Cheadle. Thor is his name. And they keep, it feels like they keep trying to save her from looking kind of like an asshole.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
because she says stuff like...
Because I love Brie Larson.
Yeah, I think someone said, like, I think... Thor, what's his name?
Chris Hemsworth.
Evans. Hemsworth, one of the Chris's.
Yeah.
He says something about, he's trying to compliment her, and he gives her a compliment about how she does her own stunts, and he says something like a Tom Cruise kind of thing, and she's like, excuse me, I am myself. Like, I am not, you know, like, it's just very, like, he was obviously trying to give her a compliment in terms of the fact that he's known for doing all his own stunts.
Right, interesting.
And then she came off as very, like, bristly about it and kind of, like, overly sensitive. I don't know. You'd have to watch it. There's a whole clip show of her kind of not doing the best job at being
Maybe she doesn't
friendly.
Like press junkets.
Well,
I mean, they're fucking terrible.
I'm sure they're horrible. All I'm saying is that it kind of became a thing in the, you know, fan community where it's like, well, you don't really like Brie Larson.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not on that team.
I'm not either. I loved Captain Marvel. Yeah. I think we've talked about it on the show. I thought it was very cool, very self-contained, very nostalgic, hit all the buttons for me.
By the way, everyone, we're still talking. We've been 7 minutes, and we're still talking spoilers, so give us another 4 minutes.
We haven't really spoiled anything yet, though, up to this point.
No, but we're about to.
Okay. Let's move on.
One of the great moments of the movie for me was the scene where all the fucking women band together toward the end.
Ugh.
That was so awesome.
Yep.
It was so powerful and just like that was like a chill down my spine moment. It
like,
was so bad.
They're like a posse. They're just like coming at you. Coming at Thanos.
Yeah. That was pretty fucking great.
That was awesome.
And then, you know, we get two major, major deaths. I think I felt in my bones that Tony Stark would die because he makes the most sense. He started it all. He had the biggest character arc as far as where he starts in Iron Man 1 as rich, handsome playboy who only thinks of himself to the ultimate sacrifice, you know, save of his own life in
Absolutely,
the end.
Absolutely, yeah.
But Black Widow caught me off guard.
I was actually in the bathroom for that one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because it was a stand-in for what happened with Gamora. Like, it flipped the script, like, kind of. And I actually didn't understand how they did that. Can you explain?
Well, I mean, it was it's really kind of great because we know on the cliff there with what's-his-face, Red Skull, that someone has to sacrifice to get the I can't remember which stone it is.
Is it the Soul Stone?
I don't remember, maybe.
I think it is, yeah.
And I get all my stones confused. Which one was Mick Jagger?
He was he was the singer.
And so they have a battle. Hawkeye and Black Widow have a battle to see who does it. Like literally a fight. And they're fighting each other toward the cliff to see who's going to jump in. And at the last minute, Hawkeye, I mean, you think that, I think you think Hawkeye is doing it, but it turns out that he's saved her and he's holding on to her. And they've both gone over the edge, but he's holding on and he's holding on to her. And then she like causes him to lose the grip.
Ugh.
And they're both arguing like, no, it's going to be me. It's got to be me. And she like fucking... Yeah, hardcore, man.
Did she come back, though, when they did the old switcheroo at the end? The old time
I don't think
time
so.
Shuffle? I don't think she was at the funeral.
No.
Which is interesting. There's some also some kind of plot,
she's got
plot
her own
hole
movie coming,
kind of
so
questions.
What is it, go back in time?
Maybe, yeah. There are a couple little plot holy type questions like that where it's like, how come they brought back some characters but not others and things like that. But all in all, I thought it was just, it was like you said, this culmination of this, you know, 20 plus movies, and characters, and everything felt satisfying. And tiny gripes aside, I think I cried four times.
Oh, jeez. I was a mess.
It's just great. Yeah.
I was a mess.
How many thumbs, Chuck?
A bunch of big stone studded thumbs.
Big burly thumbs.
Way up.
Yeah. Oh, I did. I found out one thing, one plot hole question I had was how come they had to get Peter Dinklage to forge that, glove, the gauntlet, so that Thanos could wield the stones. In the previous movie, remember Peter Dinklage was like the—
He forged the big axe, though, right?
No, he forged the gauntlet.
Oh. Yeah. Well, and the axe.
And the axe. Yes, okay. Yes. He also forged, I think, the hammer, too. I don't know. But the point is, he definitely forged the gauntlet in order for Thanos to be able to wield the stones. And it was a big deal, a big process. He had to, like, harness the energy of the sun and all this magic stuff.
Sure.
And Iron Man was just able to magically assimilate the stones into his hand glove, into his suit.
That was a nice moment, too.
It was a nice moment. And
so you're
saying
plot hole?
I actually saw a thing on a YouTube video where they implied that because the Wakandans had shared their nanotechnology,
right,
that he possibly could just kind of – it just like figured it out.
Oh.
The materials of the suit just kind of molded to – to harness the stones.
I kind of never questioned the Iron Man suit and what it can do.
It seems like it's pretty godlike. That's the whole point. Yeah.
I think so. Oh, man, and all the stuff with Howard Stark and, God, it was just so rich in story and character.
Who was that? Who was the actor? That was,
It's Slattery from Mad Men, but they youngified him.
They did.
Which is always sort of creepy.
A little bit.
They're good at it now, but it's still a little bit like, ew. Slightly uncanny.
Wasn't Pym in it?
There was a very brief young Michael Douglas, too.
That did not look good, though. That was too uncanny valley. He looked like a video game cutscene. I did not care for that. But
it's a little tough.
Yeah. But like I said, with Sam Jackson in Captain Marvel, it was the whole movie, so they obviously had to be a little more subtle about it, I guess.
And they
know?
Didn't take him back as far. And
that's
he
also true.
Like, Michael Douglas, he's looking pretty old these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Sam Jackson is still a spring chicken.
I agree. All right, we out of spoiler zone?
I think so. Let's move on.
You know what we might do?
What?
Maybe even put in the, maybe once we get the edit of this, we can even put like a time code of like, here, spoilers exist from here to here.
That's a good idea.
We might do that.
All right, everyone, we're moving on to social studies.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
And I asked everyone on Facebook, Noel, what's your favorite war movie and why? Because this is an early promotion for another crossover episode with Friendly Fire. My buddies, Ben Harrison, Adam Pranica, and John Roderick.
Cool.
At Max Fun Con, early June, we're going to get together and record another crossover ep to be released as a co-Friendly Fire movie crush release.
Very nice.
So I decided to get a little war movie talk going.
When are you
going
to invite me to one of these things, Chuck?
Max Fun Con?
Any of these. You know?
I'm not in charge of the invitations.
That's fair. That's fair, Chuck.
It's like you can't invite someone to someone else's party. You know how that goes.
Put in a good word for me.
All right, sure.
I know Roderick.
John Millsap, our old pal, says Wonder Woman. Yeah, great action film.
War movie, though, is the question, though, right?
Yeah, but I mean, there's some war in it.
Well, isn't that it's a WW1 thing, right? Isn't that?
I think it was World War One, right?
I think it was. Yeah.
War's in the background, and then there is warring. So, and in fact, on Friendly Fire, they a lot of times have a big talk about, like, is this a war movie or is it not?
Interesting.
The criteria are in flux, I think. Becky Harris Traynor, The Great Escape. Hell yes.
I have not seen that. That's a whole.
So great. Really, really great.
Who's in that?
Steve McQueen.
Ah, yes. I don't think I've ever seen a Steve McQueen movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
I know.
Just see Great Escape and Bullet.
Bullet's the one everyone seems to really like.
Yeah, they're both great.
Yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Great, great, great. John Manning says Three Kings. Agreed. I love that movie.
I really like that one a lot.
Justin Wright says Black Hawk Down. Absolutely intriguing subject matter. Great action. The movie lived up to the book.
Didn't see it.
Black Hawk Down? It's
nope.
Good.
Yep.
Are you into war movies?
I love Platoon. I love Apocalypse Now.
All right, so you're not into war movies. You just like a few here and there?
I love, what's the Kubrick one? Full Metal Jacket. And Paths of Glory. I love both of those. Right. Those are yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a war movie buff, but I like those four that I just named.
Okay. our old pal Louis Silva says Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. That one's good.
Yeah, that's a very good film. Lose those bookends, I think, and it's damn near perfect.
What's wrong with the bookends?
I wasn't a fan.
Remind me what you're talking about.
Old Matt Damon at the cemetery.
Oh,
American Flag, earned this. Didn't need it to
Got
me.
It. Got a little, it. A little schmaltzy. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For me. Mm-hmm. Just for me. Nathan Shetley says The Thin Red Line. Terrence Malick.
That's one that I actually rented that one recently, and I just didn't get around to watching it.
You haven't seen it?
I have not seen it, no.
Oh, Terrence Malick. No, that's right up your alley.
So it's super slow and contemplative and strange.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. God, a great movie.
Cool.
Has the opening sequence of that film, it's like, I don't know, I feel like it's like 6 or 7 minutes long. It's some of the most beautiful stuff I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, okay, I'll give that
These two
shot.
Soldiers on AWOL on an island, just enjoying life away from war.
There you go.
It's really kind of cool. Our old friend Jake Hale says Infinity War. Yeah, that's a war.
Yeah, and just to backtrack slightly on Endgame, I did think Infinity War was a overall more successful movie.
Oh, interesting.
I thought like it kept me, like I said, this one I felt like it sagged a little bit at certain points. And Infinity War, for the length especially, it just kept me on the edge of my seat.
Well, Endgame, there's a lot of business, for sure.
Tying up loose ends and such. Yeah, that makes sense.
I get that a little bit. I get that criticism. Our old friend Lisa Teixeira says Glory, first war movie I ever saw. And first time I truly grasped the brutality of war.
Isn't that the one about the Black Regimen? That's like,
yeah,
like the first.
Denzel Washington and Matthew Broderick, Cary Elwes.
I haven't seen that. I'd like to.
So great. Man, that's a good one. Oh, Jennifer Fitzfee, After My Own Heart here with the movie Gallipoli. One of the great, great war movies. Young Mel Gibson about the Battle of Gallipoli.
Is that a naval battle?
No, it was the wars between Australia and Turkey.
Ah, okay.
When these Australian troops were just being sent into a meat grinder. Like, it's one of those things like that trench warfare. It's like, let's send 1,000 guys at a time out to get slaughtered by machine guns.
Wow.
Wave after wave.
To what end?
To what end?
In the hopes that what, a few of them don't get slaughtered?
It was miscommunication in the higher ups. It was brutal.
Yeah.
Really, really good film. Edward Hackett, Bridge on the River Kwai. Maybe one of the best ever.
I think that's Ron Swanson's favorite film. That's one in Parks and Rec.
Oh, really?
I think that's he claims to have only ever seen two films.
Bridge on the River Kwai.
And one of them is Bridge on the River Kwai. Yeah, pretty sure.
I wonder what the other one is. Smokey and the Bandit.
Probably like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid or something like that.
Our old friend Jeff Noel again. Don't have a single favorite, but Great Escape, Dirty Dozen, From Here to Eternity, and Bridge on the River Kwai. Simon Black says Full Metal Jacket. Guillermo Flores Barrios, great name, says Dunkirk. Dunkirk was good.
I never got around to seeing that one. I really wanted to.
Dunkirk's good. There's a sort of Christopher Nolan-y time thing
he does. I heard there was an unconventional kind of...
Yeah, and like once you wrap your head around that, it's a little less confusing. But It can be a little confusing at first.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like
basically
to give it a
does
shot.
A day, an hour a day and a week. Like from one plot is an hour of time, one plot is a day, and one plot is a week, all about the same event.
Oh.
And it's a little, if you don't quite get that, you're like, wait, what's going on?
And they don't explain that in any way? No, you kind of have to just figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful movie, though.
Cool.
I really enjoyed Dunkirk. I thought it was good. Our old pal, Alec Glasnevich, says The Life and Death of Colonel Blimp. I haven't seen this because Powell and Pressburger tell an amazing story about amazing love story of some people caught between the two wars. Have not seen that. Our old friend, Melinda Bacalacalacaleo, says Dunkirk as well. First war movie I purposefully went to the theater to watch because I wanted to see a story I'd read about and was fascinated by. Some of these you got to see on the big screen, Noel.
Oh, for sure. I mean, a lot of the classics, like they'll do – you know,
screenings
and, sure. and at the plaza and stuff like that.
I bet you catch Great Escape on a big screen at some point. Our oldest of pals, Vanessa Lopez, says Hero, most visually stunning film I've ever seen.
I don't know this movie. Yeah, no. That's Japanese. That's, it's
about
Crouching
a kung
Tiger.
Fu fighter who's on a mission to defeat three assassins.
It's a beautiful film.
Really?
There's a color palette thing, too, where there's, like, one assassin is, like, red, and then one is green. And I want to say it's not Ang Lee.
It is Zhang Yimou.
That's right, Zhang Yimou. Yeah, and it's very much a lot of the same cast members, I believe, as Crouching Tiger. And it very much has that same wire kung fu kind of, like, choreography.
I got to check that out.
But isn't Jet Li in it? He's the main guy?
I think so, Jet Li.
It's really, really great. It's really great.
All right.
It's epic as all get out.
It's epic as fuck?
Yes, sir.
Evan Gundy says Saving Private Ryan, of course. Alex Cavanaugh says Apocalypse Now. Monty Sardina says Tigerland. Yeah, that was a very undersung film, I think. I think it got overlooked in a lot of corners. Let me see here. Paul Stanfield says... Good Morning Vietnam, as well as Enemy at the Gates and a couple of others. Good Morning Vietnam I really love that movie. I got a soft spot in my heart for that one.
I haven't seen that.
Boy, one of Robin Williams' best. So sad.
He is a treasure.
Man. I was reading about him again the other day with the Louis body dementia. It's just like so, so sad. Mike Snelling Jr. says Hacksaw Ridge. Another vote for Gallipoli from Helen Highwater. Brian Thomas says a miniseries. Actually, he doesn't say what it is. But
Band of Brothers is one that everyone always talks about.
I think that's what he's talking about.
That's what everyone always talks about, and I haven't seen that. They broke a lot of stars in that one, too, I believe. Who was in that and then went on to be in a bunch of stuff?
That's got to be what he means. He didn't even mention what it was called, but Band of Brothers, I bet, is what he means. I didn't see Band of Brothers, though. I need to check that out. It's always been on my list.
Only yeah, so me too. But I'm trying to remember who it was that was kind of appeared in that the first time.
Who were the brothers, Noel?
And then went on to do a whole bunch of other stuff. Let's see. Full cast and crew. Oh, Colin Hanks is in it, I want to say.
Okay.
Ron Livingston. Donnie Wahlberg.
Oh, yeah. I love Ron Livingston.
No, Colin Hanks isn't in it.
You're thinking of Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan.
I think I am.
No. You're thinking of Tom Hanks in Bachelor Party.
Also true. I'm thinking of Tom Hanks in Big, in his child form.
Oh, I'm always thinking about that. All right. Well, let's finish it up, Noel, while you're looking that up. We'll go with Juan Nieto with Inglourious Basterds. Wait for the creme, is what he says.
Is that with the, what is it, strudel?
Yeah.
It's a strudel.
Such a great scene.
Ugh, that is great.
I have my Tarantino gripes, but boy, that's a great scene.
The first scene, or the sequence with the you know, where they're hiding underneath the floorboards and stuff, and just the is that
yeah.
that's not that sequence. That's a different sequence. The strudel sequence is that that one?
Yeah, I think they're under the floorboards here. That's why it's so tense, isn't it?
Yeah, but I thought the strudel thing was later at some kind of dinner. I don't know.
Oh.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, that is a different. That's when he says, wait for the creme is
yeah.
in the restaurant.
Exactly.
Right, right, right. I was thinking of the earlier scene, though, when...
I think he asks for a glass of milk or something in
yeah.
the first... Yeah.
So good. So good. All right, everyone. We are going to finish with... we'll take a couple of questions. So light up the phone lines, Noel.
Beep, 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 beep.
Was that your phone line?
Uh-huh. That's the sound of the switchboards. Lighten up.
All right, Noel, we're going to finish with, like I said, with a few questions on our comment card. And let's go with this. I don't know. I don't think I have an answer to this, Noel, but maybe you do. Raymond J. Down Jr. says, what film do you wish you could unlearn something spoilery that you knew about before seeing it? And he gives the example, like unknowing that Norman Bates is the killer in Psycho. Do you have anything that you can think
that's
of?
That's an interesting one because that's one where you just, you know, even the first time I saw it, you knew that.
What, in Psycho?
Yeah.
Sure.
And so it's like tempered with that forever
and all
time.
Well, that
movie's
more about, you know, it's not like the shock of that, unless you, back in the, when it first came out, that was certainly a big twist.
I think that's what he's saying though, right? Like, or
yeah,
even,
I think so.
Even the idea or the fact that, what's her name? The big star gets killed.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like that would have been a mind blower at the time.
Yeah, Janet Leigh.
Something like that. Like think about like the impact of not knowing something that maybe you just accept now.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Like people give you. We like to talk about this. People give the movie so much shit, but I thought the Fight Club twist at the time was super cool and super
sure.
mind blowing. And now you know. Again, I haven't seen the movie in years, but I remember that being a very important movie for me and thinking that was such a well-executed twist
yeah.
that I would have liked to experience that feeling again. It's sort of
yeah.
more like a nostalgic feeling of like,
sure.
what would it be like to go back and
yeah.
feel that strongly about something again?
It feels like the first time.
Woo-hoo! yeah. Exactly.
You're probably
Chuck.
Not a big Foreigner fan, are you, Noel?
I like Foreigner. What else did they do?
Foreigner?
Foreigner.
Oh, did. They did Urgent.
Yeah.
And they did I Want to Know What Love Is.
I
Want to
Know
ballad.
What Love Is. yeah. That's the one. Because I was talking to my friend about that the other day, and I was like, is that by Whitney Houston? and he was like,
what?
No, dude, it's Foreigner. But couldn't you picture Whitney Houston saying that?
Sure.
Picture Whitney Houston belting
oh, no.
that jam out. It would totally happen.
I did karaoke in Philadelphia one time before my friend's wedding at a bar. And my usual pick someone had done. So I switched it up at the last minute and did Cold as Ice. By Foreigner.
Yeah, it's cold as ice.
And right when I went on, this total Philly karaoke guy went, you better squeeze your balls for this one. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, right. This song is high as shit.
It does, yeah.
And it was not my best performance.
I'm sure it was delightful, Chuck.
Hot-blooded jukebox hero.
Jukebox hero.
Dirty White Boy. That's a good song.
I don't know that one.
Long, Long Way From Home. Waiting for a Girl Like You. Man, they have a Head Games. Jesus, Noel, Foreigner had like 12 big hits.
Have you not seen that episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force where they have the Foreigner belt?
No.
And it's like the Moon Knights, and they're like, they've got this like magical Foreigner belt that they steal from Carl or whatever. And there's like, oh no, you've become hot-blooded. And then like it's all these like puns, and then now you're cold as ice. And then Carl starts like freezing or whatever, and
That's
then he's like
great.
Overheating and...
Former yeah. guest, Dave Willis.
That's right. That's why I brought it up.
He's doing a show with us, doing voice work on a show with us.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What? Is this something I don't know about this?
Yeah. Or my old buddy, also another former guest, Joe Randazzo, is doing a scripted comedy, and Dave is going to be on the team.
That's fantastic. You had told me about the idea of that.
Yeah.
Thing. That's great that it's moving
along.
It's
going to be really good.
Very cool.
Can't wait. Let's finish up with here. Let's do one more question, Noel. Our old pal, Kayla MH, says, what movie do you think would benefit from a gender swap remake or reimagining? Yeah, that's something that's going on now. Let me see. Do you know what I would like to see? Maybe it's been done, but I don't think so. I would like to see a female Western, like a Young Guns, but with like seven badass Annie Oakleys.
You know what? That's really ringing a bell.
Is that?
Well, there happened? Was there was that movie, The Quick and the Dead, with Sharon Stone, yeah, where she was
Sam
a badass
Raimi, man.
Gunslinger.
One of the great movies.
That was a good one. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, I mean
that.
more along the lines of a gang of they're either, you know, train robber marauders, which can be fun, or they're on the other side of the law, like, you know, Texas Rangers, like female Texas Rangers. That's why hasn't that been done, Noel?
It does appear there's a film called Last Stand to Nowhere that has something of that kind of cast. Hmm. I don't know if it's any good.
Interesting. Because, see, I'm thinking, well, yeah, there is. That's pretty low pro, though.
But we're talking about, like, a straight-up reboot. So, like, it would, you know.
Yeah,
it,
like
it
Young
would
Guns.
Need to be, like, a Young Guns thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except, you know, they would probably try and put some dumb spin on the title.
What was the Bon Jovi song that was in Young Guns?
Blaze of Glory, Noel.
Shot down in a blaze of glory!
Oh, Bon Jovi.
He was born to write that song, you know?
He was born to be a lover.
Yeah, also true.
He's
seen
Bon
a million
Jovi
faces.
Twice.
And he rocked them all. Did he rock your face?
I saw them open up for 38 Special on their first album.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Many years ago.
Tables would have turned pretty quickly after that.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then I saw them in high school. A friend, well, a person I knew in high school had an extra ticket, and I felt bad because this person couldn't find anyone to go with them.
Oh, that's sad.
At all, and was asking like all the girls in school to go, and they were all like, "No,
no,
you're gross."
Oh,
yeah. And so I felt bad for
well,
this person,
nice.
And I went to the Bon Jovi concert with them.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Was it awkward?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the concert itself was good.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi, that was when the
what
peak.
Era was this? Slippery When Wet?
Even after that, it was like Bad Medicine Tour, whatever album that was.
Oh, yeah.
Might have been Bad Medicine.
Okay, I don't know.
Or no, New Jersey maybe. But it was mega Bon Jovi.
I bet.
Like all the big songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fucking great.
I bet it was. I would love to see I saw Aerosmith a long time ago.
I've never seen Aerosmith.
They were great. They were
I
really,
bet it was
yeah,
great.
They were really cool.
I'm thinking we missed the window on that.
Yeah, I don't know. That. I don't know that they'll do a big old giant tour.
They
again.
Might, but it's
been a minute though. I mean, I feel
been
like
a while. Yeah, what happened to Aerosmith?
Well, I mean, you know,
they're just comfortable being rich and old.
Being rich and old, and just doing like guest judge spots on like you know talent shows on TV.
Oh, that's right. Steven Tyler did
I
that.
I think
didn't
there's
he?
A bit of that going around. Yeah,
interesting. Well, what a sad way to end, Noel.
No, it's not. They had their heyday, and honestly, they kind of kept. Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, the whole. I heard a great interview with Rick Rubin recently where he was talking about the reason they did that Run DMC Aerosmith pairing. And it was because that beat at the beginning of Walk This Way, this that was just the beat.
Yeah.
And they would just juggle it back and forth between two turntables where you'd have it on one and have the same record on both turntables and
it's
they could just keep it going
rap.
Forever.
Yeah.
And so that was everybody knew that. And so that was how they did that crossover because everyone was already aware of that beat in the hip hop.
It was really
community.
Tailor made for a kind of call and response hip hop thing.
Yeah. And just the whole cadence of it, and even he made the point that what Steven Tyler does that in that song is kind of a rap.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know,
it's just the old white boy blues.
Well, of course, of course, of course. But that really was the very first, because I mean, hip hop culture at that point was super underground.
Yeah,
and it was very niche and very like
in
regionalized kind of, you know. And that is what sort of blew it up into the or. One of the things that blew it up in
well,
the mainstream.
Well, dude, Run DMC certainly were the first to kind of kick that door open to the mainstream. Good shit. I remember that video like it was yesterday. Big, big deal.
Is that a better note to end on?
I think so.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.